This morning we have our Easter scripture, and then there are a few other passages as well in your bulletins that shed some extra light on what all this means for the long term. And the first is from the Gospel of Luke, where we hear the Easter message that says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. And regarding his death and what happened afterwards, before his own death, Jesus said this: "Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And he added, "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour?" No. "It was for this very reason that I came to this hour." And about all this, his life, his ministry, and his resurrection, he said, "Do not believe me. Unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. And at least believe on the evidence of the results, the works themselves." May God's blessing be added to our understanding of this word of abundant life, everlasting life. Amen. Have you ever noticed that sometimes days go by, sometimes weeks go by, and they all just kind of get blended together? Sometimes it's hard to remember what you did last week, much less a year ago, 10 years ago, 20, 50 years ago. It all kind of fades away. But I feel like Easter is different. Easter stands out. So the other day, I started thinking back, and I thought, wonder how many Easters I can remember when I think back. It's a great exercise. Try it when you get home. It really is. I thought about an Easter when I was a kid, about 54 years ago. Incredible, right? And on this Easter, it snowed like 8 inches. Yeah. You thought today was cold. It snowed like 8 inches. And so my brother and I, who were always up to something, We took string and put them on our Easter baskets, and we lowered them out the window down to the roof below so that our candy would freeze in the snow. Child genius. Child genius. It's pretty fun. But Easter, you know, is just full of little, you know, odds and ends of memories like that. Like Easter when I was even younger than that, I think I was about 5 or 6 or so, and there was one time we traveled down to see our aunt and uncle who lived in Charleston, South Carolina. I remember we rowed a boat through the, I think they're mangroves or something down there with Spanish moss drooping down. That was Easter like 15 years ago or so when somebody gave us, it had to be like a 20-pound solid Easter bunny that was in the centerpiece, made this huge centerpiece of our table. It took us like weeks to eat it. There was an Easter, we were talking about it this morning, and somebody said, was this the coldest Easter morning on the beach? No, there was an Easter on the beach where it was about 25 degrees and the wind was blowing, and at one point, Laura and I looked down at the communion cups, and there were white caps on the communion cups in the juice. Swear to God. And then the family gatherings, right, with all different configurations of family over the years. And this year, you know, we're together with three of out of the four of our kids, and our son and Parker's girlfriend is here, and our niece and nephew and his girlfriend. And you know, the memories just, they just started, you know, flooding back one after the other. And I love Easter, right? I love Easter because of this, because of the energy. There's this unique energy about Easter, and with the anticipation and the preparation that goes into it, and the excitement and the hope. And you know, you can feel it. You can feel that different energy today and now and being with each other. And the connectedness of being with each other. And the music. Family, the meals, all of it. And I love that leading up to it, I know that on Easter, we get this. We get all this. It's not like anything else. It's not like any other day in the year. We can feel that different energy. And you know what? There's a word for this. There is a word for this. And whether or not this word is, that word is sacred. It's just experience in the sacred. And then, of course, there's one thing some of you are wondering, leaving out the obvious. This. And that has to do with the energy of this place. Typically, who draws us here? Who is still at work? Still influencing? Still making people do things? How do we even have a here to come to? Of course, we all know that none of this would exist unless what Jesus did during his very brief lifetime and ministry, if it didn't stick. Not only that, but if it didn't have staying power, that never left. I am with you forever, he said. Even to the end of the age. We can think about that sometimes philosophically, theologically. That's not a theological point of question. That's just the reality of all of this, all of this, all of it. He knew what he was doing. Saying, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, he said, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Do not believe me, he said, unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, Even if you don't believe me, believe the works. Believe the good that happens as a result. And so all of this, the church, the music, the meals, the Easter egg hunts, the joy, the family gatherings, you and I being here, all of it is the truth of all this. He was right. Whether you like him or not, he was right. Because he never left. And he's still working things. If Jesus wouldn't have had the lasting presence that still has tremendous active, inspirational, motivational energy, the ability to get into people's minds and hearts and to create, to have them do certain things, then the work of this church wouldn't exist. Don't believe me, he said, believe the work. I'm with you always. I mentioned this on Easter morning. Because sometimes on Easter, I think it's easy to miss the forest for the trees. Either positively or negatively, we can get so caught up and so wrapped up and kind of dissecting and wondering about the possible veracity of the details of the resurrection, you know, that lasted really a mere moment. And we can debate the possibility of those occurrences and so that we can miss the blatantly obvious. The fact that regardless of how, he's still working things. He's still having people do things. Don't believe me, believe the results. We're here. And everything that we do is only because of his lasting and current impact. And that is presence. That is living energy. You think it's easy? You try to inspire hundreds of millions of people that you've never met after 2,000 years. Give it your best shot. Don't believe me, he said. Believe the works. There's an organization that does tremendous work in Bridgeport. And it helps to transform some pretty rough lives, some pretty tough men. It's called Hang Time. Hang Time is an organization that gathers and welcomes men who are or who have been in rival gangs. The deal is that they gather and they have to leave their weapons at the door. And they can't kill each other while they're in the room. And some have gotten out of prison. They're struggling. But even deeper than all this is another thing going on, because these men are yearning for even reasons beyond their own understanding. They're yearning for authentic human connection. They're yearning for love. They're yearning for care. They are yearning and they are reaching out for support, and not just to receive it, but also to give it and share it with others in the same boat. These are men who have been beaten down by life. These are men who have been beaten down again and again by society. These are men who are yearning for a second chance. To be a good human being, to be a good citizen, to figure out how to be a good parent. Things that if you haven't been raised and taught, this is how you do it. You don't know. And so they come to Hang Time to meet other men with like backgrounds and like souls for this renewal and for this support to help strengthen and rebuild their lives. So this organization was founded and it's run by Charlie Grady. Charlie's been here several times to speak with us. He's an amazing man. Amazing man. He's a good friend of mine and Laura's. He has a different full-time job. He does all this as a volunteer. And he gives his heart and soul to these guys. And he sees, and we see, and probably what's more important is they see, the guys. They see the results. They live the results. If you don't believe him, believe the results. As a church, we go down there and serve meals and eat and hang out with them. Specifically, there are three members of this church who've been doing this most: Bob McGuffey, Hetty Mosier, Robin Marshlow, and Julianne now. And as a church, they help, you help to transform these lives. And like everything we do as a church, and the thousands of people more than this in more than 15 other organizations, this is just the tip of the iceberg. These are but some, and none of it happens by itself. It doesn't come from nowhere. These men from Hang Time and at sister group Her Time that we also help, they wouldn't be receiving support if it weren't for our church. You talk to Charlie, he'll tell you that we as a church, Southport Congregational Church, help them to get off of the ground and help them in very material, significant ways to do their ministry. Lo, we are with them. You are with them. None of this would happen if it weren't for Christ. As not just a good guy who we remember who lived long ago, he's actively and currently motivating and inspiring and strengthening and renewing with his presence. I am with you. Believe the results. So let me just read the letter that Charlie wrote to Laura and to me and to share with you. Because I tell you, this whole sermon actually germinated from this letter that we got last Thursday. He wrote this. He wrote, "Paul and Laura, I hope this message finds you both in great health and spirits. I can't thank you and the members of the Southport Congregational Church enough. There are no words to express how timely and significant these two donations to Hang Time are, the two donations of $3,000 and $5,000 that come from you, your gifts. You're touching them because you have been touched." He said, "We suffered like everyone did during COVID." He wrote, "But we are coming back with a vengeance. Thank you again for all of your support, and we will keep you in the loop on our new trade school scholarship initiative, which we are also helping with. You are also helping with. Have a great day, Charlie." That's Easter. We have 15 plus more organizations that we get the same kind of response as one from. I was going to include talking about so many of them. It was about 7 minutes worth, paring it down. This is what we do. This is who we are. This is who we touch and how we touch, and there's a reason why. He's here. He's very active. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, remains only a single seed, but if it dies and produces many seeds, not just once, but over time. We're just one church of millions doing all sorts of things like this. He came not to be a flash in the pan, not to amaze and astound for the moment, but to sustain and multiply his help and his presence. Helping so many. And there are so many more who can be helped through you and through me. His presence is so alive. So I'm wondering, for your benefit, where and how do you see his presence? When we look around the world, do we see the light? Or do we see mostly the darkness? There's a lot of both. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And though the darkness will come, the darkness cannot put it out. But the darkness will come, but there's light. Where do you look? What do you see? And what do you do? It's been said it's better to light one candle than curse the darkness. Light a candle. And then light another one. And another one. It all depends on where you look. So I'm going to close with a little poem. It's something that I thought about so much over the decades, and shared it before, and I'll share it again. It's called God Speak to Me. Sometimes it's been attributed to the Navajo tradition. The man whispered, God, speak to me. And a meadowlark sang, but the man did not hear. So the man yelled, God, speak to me. And thunder rolled across the sky. But the man did not listen. The man looked around and he said, God, let me see you. And a star shone brightly in the sky. But the man did not notice. So the man shouted, God, show me a miracle. And a life was born. The man did not comprehend. He kept saying, where are you, God? And he cried out in despair, touch me, God, please. Please let me know that you are here. And God reached down and he touched the man. The man brushed the butterfly off of his shoulder and he walked away. Wondering why God had neglected him so. God is here. Christ is risen. And very much with us, working, feeding, uplifting, inspiring, healing in so many different ways, supporting, renewing, transforming, all around you. So, alleluia. I am with you always, even to the close of the age. If you don't believe me, believe the results. Happy Easter. Amen.